We sampled it from him, but it's not the same bass drum.
You can get in serious trouble for copyright infringement.
You got an organ going.
Yeah? The copyright is not doing crap!
Copyright? What's copyright?
It's the right of the owners to control.
Right now!
You know what time it is.
Welcome to
the copyright
experiment.
Hey, radio listeners. You're tuned into CITR 101.9 FM. That's the station, the show, the copyright experiment. Thursday, 11 o'clock. A little late getting started. But if you've never listened to the copyright experiment before, well, you're in for a treat then. We're kind of a talk and music show. We talk about the changing role of intellectual property and the way changing views of copyright and music consumption, distribution, things like that. Mostly focused on music, and I also do a mix of all freely available music after that. So we're going to do a little talky talk section and then play some free music later. And if you like any of the songs you listen to, or if you want to hear more episodes, you can go to our blog at copyrightexperiment.tumblr.com. And this week, actually, we're not going to be talking so much about music, a little bit about music, but more about internet cultures in general, subcultures in general. And this is basically last Friday, I went to a combined gallery and music show called GIF2. And as the name implies, it was a showcase of animated GIFs from the internet, born from the internet, now projected in physical spaces. It was a pretty cool show, and there's also bands playing, so it was kind of a lively event. You can see a lot of artists submitted their GIFs to be displayed in really fast fashion and looped over and over again. But I got to sit down with a few of the people at the show, and we kind of talked about how GIFs kind of speak to the general culture on the internet and how it relates to music and how it relates to how we think about intellectual property, copyright, authorships, things like that. So first up, I got an interview with Jillian Brown, who is the curator and basically put on the whole show. So we're going to listen to my interview with her at GIF2 last Friday. Enjoy.
Talking to
Jillian Cole.
And where are we?
We're at Redgate.
What's happening at Redgate right now?
GIF2.
GIF2. Can you tell us what that's about?
GIF2 is a festival of GIF art and interactive art. And
Run by
me and Redgate.
There you go. Cool. Okay, so first question. This is a big one.
Okay.
GIF or GIF?
I like to say GIF, but I feel like you're supposed to say GIF, but I just don't feel right about it. I like the soft G.
I'm on your side on this one. Everybody else I talked to said GIF, but so I'm glad you're on my side here.
I don't like the ring to it. I also say, when I say ketchup, I say catch-up, obviously, and everyone tries to make me say ketchup, and I know it's spelled that way, but it just doesn't feel right to me.
All right, well, as long as people understand you, then it doesn't matter, right?
I guess so. And if they don't understand me, then that's okay, too.
Okay, yeah. So can you tell me what kind of... So this is the second version of this event?
Yeah, second version.
And so what made you want to do it in the first place?
I just like taking the internet medium and bringing it to a different space so that people can digest it in a different way and just see it with sound. So I think sound and the image together are an interesting combination, so it's not just internet, but you know, it came from the internet.
It came from the internet.
As an origin, yeah.
And by the sound, you mean?
Well, this GIF event, we have more like ambient electronic music. Before we had punk music. I think it's interesting to have different types of sound, and the way that even any projected image kind of works with sound. It's always sort of synced up in a certain way, even if it isn't meant to be synced up with that type of sound.
I also noticed it very occasionally, it doesn't happen all the time, but some of the rhythms of the GIFs that you're seeing on the projector line up very nicely with the beats sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. And even if it isn't meant to, there's always like a twinge of it that will kind of line up with some kind of beat or something with the sound, which I enjoy.
So you're taking GIFs from the internet or ones that people have submitted, and you're putting them in a physical space, and so you're kind of changing the context in which people are enjoying them or consuming them. And what kind of things are you trying to make people think about by changing the location that you're enjoying them in?
That's an interesting question. I guess when I, depending on what sound is happening, I feel totally different about what image is happening and vice versa. So just taking these two elements and tying them together and sort of like marrying them in this type of way is interesting to me. And having a bunch of people together sort of as a type of experience rather than just sitting at your laptop watching a GIF for a moment is nice. It's just sort of like the experience of it all with other people and not in front of a laptop, because it doesn't need to be that way.
Yeah, it seems very ephemeral when you're looking at it online. And what kind of feeling do you get when you're seeing it, like, exactly, physically in a space? What kind of feeling are you feeling?
Well, I think it also depends how many times you repeat the GIF, because it's like from one image to the end image and then back again. You could almost constantly have the same image, and it would sort of feel okay to me anyway, because it's like such a short amount of time. It's almost like electronic music is like very rhythmic and similar, but there's something about it that it makes it nice as a almost like a background, but also nice to like look at in certain moments and like realize, okay, this is, what is this exactly? Yeah.
Cool. Is there a reason you called for submissions to this rather than just pulling ones that you happen to like online?
I have pulled some that I just liked online as well, but I wanted to tie it together with Vancouver artists, as well as, I think I have a Montreal artist as well, but I guess bringing it home rather than just making it so large.
Okay,
and some of the Tumblr, like, I got a lot of them off of Tumblr, so some of the Tumblr artists I'm not able to even trace, so I think that's interesting, as well as it would be nice if I did know the origin, but I don't know.
So what does it mean for, like, the state of the medium where it's, where the, like, kind of the authorship is really very, very loosely tied to the actual content?
I think it's interesting. I like when authorship is sort of lost, because it just becomes such a kind of like a cultural experience. And I think it kind of like, I don't know if it's made in Canada or if it's made in Brazil, if it's wherever, it's made outer space. But it's like, I can enjoy this thing. And even if I can't totally relate to it, the rhythm of something and how it kind of repeats kind of brings me closer to it.
Do you think the internet as a medium kind of like universalizes the context that people kind of are enjoying it?
Yes, I think so. I think it universalizes it, but sometimes you have to bring it away from people in maybe contexts like this so that they can eat it up in a different way, because it's just so in their face. People get used to it and then they're like, okay, this is what it is. But if you put it in a different screen or a different context, people can see it for something a little bit different than just looking at Facebook or Tumblr or other web 2.0 things.
Okay. All right, I'll ask you, does it concern you that, or are you worried about, do you even think about the fact that when you're taking gifts from wherever, does it even cross your mind that there's ownership attached to it or anything?
A little bit, but with, I guess, gifts in general, with a lot of these shared gifts and that you see them so widely spread, I feel like the ownership of taking these things, although the law of and the bureaucracy of it kind of like bothers me, and it's just ridiculous anyway to a certain degree, especially if someone doesn't want to just like throw their name up on it. I would like to sort of mention who it started from, but it's sort of like a chain letter. Everyone's kind of doing it, and this thing is here. And a lot of it's taken from movies or commercials or whatever. So it just becomes like a mixed experience that everyone can relate to.
So, yeah, on my show, The Copyright Experiment, we often talk about kind of how the behaviors of the way people treat intellectual property now is very mismatched from the way that we're supposed to treat it. Mm-hmm. And I think, would you say you see that reflected like more, even more in like kind of, I guess what you could call GIF culture.
Yeah. I remember being more familiar, I guess, when I first sort of like learned more about copyright. I don't know if you probably heard about that. That was it called RIP? It's like that video, that movie.
Yeah, RIP, a remix manifesto.
Yeah. So
that's a movie you can watch actually online for free to our listeners. If you just search RIP, a remix manifesto. Anyway, continue.
Yeah, so I thought that was very interesting. And I guess it even before that, even just like taking a certain song that is, you know, so widely used, but if it's like under a certain number of years, you can't technically use it, but people do, or like DJs use like samples all the time. So to say something is somebody else's when it's been used so many times, it's just like a cultural experience after a certain point. Like, you know it's been made by somebody, so, you know. It's not like I'm saying I've made this and it's mine. So it's nice, almost, to share that experience with people.
Right. Okay, so, well,
it's like a collage rather than just like, this is mine, I own this thing.
Right. Okay, so I you're kind of saying that there's like there's kind of a cultural ownership over it? Over things that get put into that culture?
Yeah, and almost like, I don't even want to use the word ownership. You know that it's been created by somebody that isn't you, but to be able to touch it and experience it in a way and then almost like throw it back or share it because you've seen it, you know that you are part of the experience of it all. Although that might sound a little cheesy, but it's true, so.
Right, I mean, culture is just community, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Community of art. Let's flip the tables on you then. So now, say you made something, you made a GIF, it became really popular, and people started making money off of it. Are you going to be upset about that?
If they were making tons of money, I might think about it in a certain way, but just as long as I had made some money off of it. I feel like there's sort of like a plateau point, and after that, I would be happy that people could enjoy it that much to have that experience. So I don't feel like I'd be too upset, especially if I have made some money on it.
Because there's kind of this, it's so easy to lose like attribution or an identity of authorship with something like a GIF or just something that lives purely online. By losing the ability to actually attribute things to other people, do you think that hurts or helps or just kind of changes the way that that kind of particular art scene is different?
I think that it helps it be widely spread, and it's almost like another skin. Like, have you seen that meme with a cat doing this thing? I don't know who started that a lot of the time. It's almost like the urban tales or urban legend, I guess. I don't know where it started, but it continues, and it's like a chain letter, and people continue on with it, and I guess it's relative to the person's experience, or else they wouldn't be sharing it, so I think that's interesting.
So would you say that...
Like, I don't know what the origin of the word cool is, per se, and it's been around for so long, and there's constantly new terminology popping up with, like, younger generations, so... I don't know where that started from. I guess it's a little bit different if you've like created a piece of art or a GIF, but I feel like they generally want to share it with people, or else they would put it on a website and definitely tie their name to it.
Okay. So do you think that it sounds like you're kind of saying that the importance to the community for like a piece of art has greater liability to the community it's involved with rather than the author?
I think so, yeah.
That's an interesting view.
What do you think?
I think it's up to the author how much they want to do it, and it shouldn't be up to the medium that they're publishing on to dictate that.
I don't think it's so much up to the medium, but I feel like people who do care more about that, generally when I've found some work, it's definitely like linked to a website where you can actually like bring it back to the artist. Because I've seen some GIFs or some like... art online that definitely goes back to a source.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like just through a watermarking, you mean? Or
no, just that I guess I've seen some time-based medium or GIFs even, and you click it a couple times, maybe it's not always, but it actually links back to the person's personal website. But other times, it's like, it's been shared so many times, it's just lost the authorship totally.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. The SSS authorship or something. I wish it was like a actual like pirate ship or something.
The SS authorship.
The author ship.
Okay, so one more question for you.
Okay.
So there's something I think about a lot is the fact that the grounds for copywriting something is extremely low, mm-hmm. and in most Western societies, in order for something to be copyrighted by your name, by you, you basically have to create it and have it available to the public in some way, shape, or form, which is very low.
Yeah.
And because of online publishing now, pretty much everything that everyone puts online,
mm-hmm.
whether by an email to a bunch of people or on their blog, posted on their Facebook status or whatever, all of that is automatically copyrighted to each individual that does that.
Yeah.
So that creates like a huge amount of copyrighted material, mm-hmm. and it basically creates everything online copyrighted, and it's just kind of ballooned the amount of copyrighted material out in the world. So do you think that's actually going to be a problem in the future, or do you think it's just going to, because there's just so much, it's just going to be totally ignored?
I just feel like there's so much of it, and it's just kind of the way things are going, so either copyright has to kind of like shift the way it's working, because sometimes I feel like it takes a while to sort of change with the culture.
So. Yeah, and it's a big topic on the copyright experiment is that the legislation around copyright takes a long time to develop, even and may even take longer than the time it takes for that behavior to be like passé.
Yeah, or like modified in any way. Because I don't necessarily think it's wrong, but it just it doesn't always work with things move so quickly, and you know law doesn't move so quickly sometimes.
Very true.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm having a lot of fun at this event, so I would call it a success, so congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, anything else you want to add?
I don't think so.
Cool. Well, thanks for talking to us at the Copyright Experiment, and congratulations on your successful show.
Thank you.
All right, so that was Jillian Cole at the GIF2 art exhibit / concert featuring animated GIFs curated by Jillian herself. And up next is Shafi Alvarez, who curated the music for the event. So listen to my talk with her.
All right, this is Tim with Copyright Experiment, and we're talking to
Jillian Cole.
And we're
that's Jillian again. I'm sorry, guys. Here we go.
It's Tim with Copyright Experiment. We're at what is the event we're at right now?
We are at GIF2 at Redgate Art Society.
GIF2 at Redgate Art Society, and I'm here with
Shafi Alvarez.
Shafi Alvarez, cool. And you want to tell me what the event's all about?
Yeah, I actually am involved in the music aspect of the event. The event is basically a celebration of interactive art, especially the GIF format. But we also have like some interactive displays involving like sculpture and projection, and yeah, just a bunch of like interactive projections as well. My friend Jillian Cole curated all of the art. She took in all the submissions. We were accepting submissions for about 2 months prior to the event. And I booked the lineup of bands, and which was Vision Loser, Noble Oak, Morning Coup, Underpass, Hot Fruit from Olympia, Washington, and we have two DJs here as well, Midnight Vulture and Doris Crane.
Yeah, so you took care of the music aspect. Is there any kind of like thematic relation you're going for in terms of how you're relating music to?
I wanted to go with the last GIF event. This is actually the second that we've done. I wasn't as involved in the last one. I just kind of like helped with bartending and whatnot. It was at a way smaller space as well. The last one, I noticed that like the GIF submissions that we had were like very eclectic. So I just wanted to like get as eclectic of a lineup as humanly possible for this one. So like we started the night off with Giles, Vision Loser, which is just like one man playing a keyboard essentially, and singing. And then I wanted to like progress into like kind of like heavier, darker stuff. So we had Underpass play after that. They're like a really good post-punk band. And then we had Morning Coup, who were like almost like an ambient experimental noise project. And then I wanted to like kind of bring the mood up again after that point. So next we've got Noble Oak, who's like kind of dream poppy electronic music. And then after that we've got Hot Fruit, which are this really great like experimental R&B noise rap group from Olympia. And then after that is the dance party. So yeah, I just kind of wanted to roll through all of the like, start off with something kind of lighter, get into like the heavy dark stuff, kind of amp it up, and then like just go into like the dancey stuff.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So what got you interested in this event, actually?
Actually, Julian is like one of my good friends. I went to the first GIF event, and I basically saw the potential for like what a big event it could be, because we had it at Franklin Studios, which is a much smaller space. It's just one small room. And it was packed, and people were having a great time, and we had way less art last time. We had just, like, one wall with a loop of GIFs projected. But people seemed really into it, and I really liked seeing people, like, interacting with music and art at the same time, because that's not really something you get most of the time. Like, even here, we have art in the front room, and then we have, like, musical events in the back room, but not often are the two combined in one event. So I thought that would be really cool to do here. And to, yeah, just make it a bigger event, and we were able to make it a public event, which is great. Yeah.
Cool. So, yeah, music shows, like you say, are kind of, they're more inherently interactive than kind of art exhibits oftentimes.
They are more inherently interactive. However, like, I find that if people just go to music events over and over and over, they become kind of, like, disillusioned with it. If there's no new element to it, they become kind of bored, and they don't interact with the musicians as much. They don't like dance as much. But I found tonight people are, you know, kind of looking at the art, looking at the music, dancing, having a good time. So
yeah, it's kind of what I was getting at. So do you think it helped made the art more interactive, just having like music?
I think they really help each other. Like having the music has made the art definitely more interactive. It's gotten people more interested in the art, and having the art there has, I think, gotten people more interested in the music and gotten people more interested in the event.
So with one of the art side of it, so in the stuff that's being performed here or showcased here is stuff that generally wouldn't ever get performed in a physical space. I mean, it's all consumed online.
It's all consumed or created online. Generally, it would just be like found deep in the depths of a blog or just overlooked completely. This is a really great way for also like web artists to showcase their work to maybe a crowd that they wouldn't normally.
Do you think that changes kind of the like? Well, I mean, obviously it's a different context that you're consuming it. So do you think that changes how people are perceiving what they're kind of consuming?
I think so. I find that even with myself, like if I'm looking at a GIF online, I don't even really think about it in the context of, like, oh, this is art, because I'm seeing it for such a short amount of time before my attention is drawn to some other thing on the internet, because you can do so many things at once on the internet. Here you actually get to take a second to look at the art, you know, like, comprehend it, and then see it again because it's playing on a loop, which is great.
So I think you touched on the big thing, that one of the contextual clues online is that everything is just really fast.
Exactly.
And
you're consuming so many things in such a short period of time.
Right, so it's a little harder to kind of appreciate it on like come on more
to,
slow
to
demo.
Appreciate it and to give it really any thought, I find. Like, I consume so many things online that half of them I forget the second I go back into the real world, quote-unquote. Yeah.
So you're talking about kind of how the internet is kind of implicitly kind of in the internet is making it really easy for bands to get in touch with our fans that they want to talk to
or stuff.
So do you think though that and we just talked about how in the art world I guess that the internet has made consumption rapid fire. Do you think that that's also happening in music as well? Do you think the online thing makes consumption faster?
It is so easy to like just consume music so quickly on the internet and then like forget to like write down the name of the artist you were just listening to, or like actually download it, or like buy the physical copy, that you just kind of forget bands all the time. So I think that's why it's also so important that bands keep coming out and playing on such a regular basis like they do in this city, which is
do you think that a lot of the bands, I guess, or I guess the bands that are they consciously concerned about kind of that The fact that if they're not performing live, then they can just kind of get swept up in the stream of content?
I think so, yeah. I think, I mean, musicians see it happening to other musicians. And yeah, I think it is a concern. I've actually spoken to my friends about this who are musicians, and they've kind of voiced that concern. And I mean, I don't currently have a music project that I'm working on, but when I did, we didn't ever play a show. And like, if we talk about ourselves to friends now, they're like, I forgot you even were in a band because you never played a show. And I listened to your demo maybe once on Bandcamp and then like went on with my life.
Okay, cool. Well, I guess I'll wrap it up there then.
Okay, great.
But yeah, thanks for chatting with me.
Yeah, no worries. Thank you.
And yeah, and I guess we'll enjoy the rest of the bands for tonight. Cool.
All right, so that was Xavi Alvarez, who booked all the bands at GIF 2 on Friday. And up next is Sammy, who had a art installation built that he kind of coded up himself relating to animated GIFs. And he kind of talks about how he built that and issues he's having with intellectual property. So enjoy that.
All right, it's Tim here with the Copyright Experiment, and we're talking to
Sammy.
Sammy's got an exhibit here at GIF 2 called
Animake It, but the performance is called Animaker. That was terrible. Yeah, the show's called Animaker. The software's called Animake It, and it's awesome to have met Tim here.
Yeah, cool. So do you want to explain what Animaker is?
Sure. So it's basically this installation where there's a couple different computers that are all hooked together. That each let you control some GIFs or any other source material right in your browser using a Leap Motion. And what a Leap Motion is it's a little infrared camera that tracks your hand and finger positions in this little 3D area. So you can basically use your hand and move it around to control the scale, position, and rotation of an image or whatever you have in there. And you can loop these things, and the installation as a whole puts all these different images together live onto this projected image on the wall so people can create these fun little animated environments together.
Okay, so would you call this like a visual mashup of whatever you throw at it kind of thing?
Yeah, totally. And actually, I love the name of your show. It's super apt because I'm definitely probably infringing on a whole bunch of copyright. From the copyright perspective, essentially, we just make it clear that if anybody doesn't want us to use their copyrighted things, or if we're using something by accident, to just let us know and we'll take it off.
Okay. So if that does happen, if someone tried to use something, does it block it, a URL or anything?
No, we're super tiny. Like we're this is we right, just yeah. launched an alpha this past week. We have like I don't know how many. Under 100 people so far. We really limited like the access till we got to where we are now.
So is this thing available to a lot of people then?
Yeah. So Animaker is not. Animaker is this live thing. If you want Animaker at one of your shows or an event, it's great for party environments. Not like crazy like drunk parties, but parties with space and people who are mature. And also great for just family fun. Just get in touch with Sammy, that's Sammy at animaker.com. If you come to one of our events, you can sign up for the alpha, which essentially lets you go to animaker.com and create an account, and then you can do this from home. Any image on the web, any URL you find, you can import right into the system. We'll cache it here so that we don't, waste other people's bandwidth if something that you make gets particularly popular. And yeah, you can just create it, save your stuff, send it to friends, and have fun with it. If I wanted to make a mashup of like Nyan Cat, and a lot of people are you familiar with Nyan Cat before?
Yeah. Hopefully our listeners are familiar with Nyan Cat, but if they're not, do you want to describe it?
Sure. It's basically this ridiculous, awesome thing where there's this cat that is farting out rainbows, and it's made of a Pop Tart, I believe. And it floats around in space to this music that goes like, and it just loops on and on like that.
And it's kind of in a pixel art style, yes?
Yeah. It's fucking awesome. Or am I allowed to swear on the show? Or?
I'll deal with it.
Okay, you'll deal with it later. Great. anyway, it's had like, I think it's a billion. It's had over a billion, or either a billion or 100 million. Whatever, a huge ridiculous number, of views. But the interesting thing about it is thousands of people have tried to remix it, which means that they have downloaded that video. And of course, YouTube doesn't make it easy to do that. And then you have to import it into the piece of software, like, let's say, After Effects, which, for those of you that aren't familiar, is basically Photoshop, but for videos. And then you have to add all the assets that you want, and you have to move them around frame by frame, doing what we were talking about earlier. A, the software costs hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars. B, it takes two, 3 years to learn. I mean, you can take actual courses and get degrees in this stuff. And even once you've done that, it takes, like, to make something that takes me a minute or two, my software would take me, as somebody who has used that for the past 10 years. Not that software, but all kinds of related things. It would take me half an hour there. So, yeah, I can't do the same things, but for real time, it's way, way a lot better than what exists currently.
Cool. And so you kind of touched on kind of the novel interface that you're using for it. What was the reason you kind of went with a kind of movement detection based interface?
It was mainly for live. Actually, the way this software project started, it was the first demo that I made for it. It was me and a friend of mine that started this together. I was really interested in doing live music environments, interactive stuff, and I built this kind of fractal that lets you use leap motion. So each direction you move your hand, control the parameter in this fractal, and it moved to music as well. And my friend, he created the storytelling environment where you had this 3D character being moved through space and could tell a story with it. It was digital puppetry. And then the past 4 months, we've been in Oakland living there. And we were at an accelerated program in San Francisco to work on this, essentially. And just, yeah, made it happen. And now I've kind of come back to Vancouver. I got my permanent residency here a couple months ago, so I can finally live here in this awesome city.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. And all you people listening to this, this city's fantastic. Don't call it No Fun City, because there's plenty of fun to be had over here. You're just living in the wrong places if you think that.
Yeah, I'll corroborate that. This party is pretty fun as well. So.
Yeah. So yeah, this is the kind of, so anybody listening to this, if you have a party, if you're somebody who is considered to be a chill and awesome person, please don't get in touch if you're widely considered to be a douchebag. But if that's not you, if you are a cool person indeed, please get in touch, because I would love to work with people on just awesome, awesome stuff and create fun little playgrounds for people to explore and create together. And cool. Yeah.
So are you trying to, right now, are you trying to get it out for people to use online, or are you trying to more focusing on installing like the Animaker thing at other places as well?
So I'm doing both, I guess. The Animaker system is already online and already running. I'm keeping the signups really limited, just because it's got a long way to go with what the software needs to do, and I have a long list of things like that, like, just have to happen, that you just, it just takes a long time to like program everything. So that's gonna keep running, and until as I hit more things that I want to do, more people will open up to it. But the installations, that's my big passion, is live things. Like I do a completely improvised live loop music show under the moniker This Is Sammy. It's all controlled in Ableton. Half of it is traditional instruments going through a mixer, and the other half is controlled software synths that are pretty fun to use. What I'm trying to get to is a combination of that live music with this live playfulness. I don't know, a show where I'm playing music live and people who are dancing can like interact with visuals and have fun with it. But I guess in a way that it's even more intuitive than this. Like for here, half people there needed me to like explain to them like how it worked, just because it's that early on. Like I need to get to the point where anybody will come up and just immediately know like how to make things happen. That'll just make the vibe that much better, right, for this kind of an installation.
Cool. Do you think that kind of makes for a more like tight-knit experience for people?
Yeah, totally. And I think a lot of it comes from control. I think there's too much control now. Like there's so much variability. And for a live environment, what I'm figuring out, I think, especially a party kind of thing, is it's got to be something you just come up to it and can wave your hand and something happens. And then, if you want, you can change that. What that something is, like maybe you can change the character. But right now, it's just too open-ended. It's great for like the online platform where you want to sit down and spend 10 minutes, 15 minutes creating like this awesome, ridiculous thing and just send it to your friend. But for at a party, it's a little too much to figure out. Yeah.
Cool. Well, I guess I'll wrap it up there. But thanks for chatting with us, Sammy.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure.
Anything else
thing
you want to mention?
notice. I love you, Mom. I guess I got to do that obligatory thing.
cool. All right. Well, thanks for chatting with us, Sammy. And yeah, good luck with the Anna Make It.
Thank you very much. I'll need a lot of that.
All right, so that was Sammy from the Gift2 event on last Friday, who has his Animaker installation project and Animake It, the online software. So yeah, we're going to take a quick break here, but I'm going to come back, and we will play some free music for you as always. So stay tuned. CITR.
I went to residential school. I was just 8 years old.
Gaila Kasla. My name is Gennarji O'Sullivan of the Tlaalitsis Nation, originally from Turner Island. You're listening to Wendell exploring the legacy of Indian residential schools.
It's been a long time that I walked this way of life. I'm 65 years old. I'm also a survivor of the residential school for 10 years. I was taken away at 5 years old. Early in 50s, I got 5 sisters and 3 brothers. Only 3 of us went to a residential school. Each one of them, my brother and sister, had their own story. I have mine. I went to residential school, Fort Albany, St. Anne School, Fort George, Quebec, St. Joseph. In those schools, there was no love, no hugging. 7 of my co-students in residential school commit suicide. 7 of them that I know. Just recently, my young friend, my chum, passed away just the other day. Many years that I walk here, I feel good being a Squaw Bayous. Some people call me an elder. I told them, you call me that again, I'll beat you up. I'm proud who I am, Anishinaabe. I just want to share that much. I cut it short. I used to talk 2 hours. But, yeah, Maulwees got Masnihikan Davasta. He got you to Bajimion. It comes from here. I lived that life. I felt those pain. Regret for listening. Oh, watch it.
You have just heard It Window exploring the legacy of Indian residential schools. Both my mother and I attended St. Michael's Residential School in Alert Bay, BC. This is a part of a larger project called Resonating Reconciliation that engages community radio as a tool to help define what reconciliation is. Resonating Reconciliation is meant to help reconcile all Canadians to this shared history. This is the work of the National Campus and Community Radio Association, the Rajam Slan Society, and this station. Resonating Reconciliation is also supported by the Indian Residential School Survivor Society and is funded by the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. To hear more, go to www.ncra.ca/resonating.
A stack of records here, a stack of records there. I got records scattered all over everywhere, but I'm looking.
Discorder Magazine has been supporting independent music for over 30 years, and it keeps on living by joining efforts with local music supporters such as Vinyl Records. You can find a selection of Vinyl Records' featured albums on the back cover of Discorder and can support your favorite local bands and artists by purchasing their records. For more information on their vast selection of new, used, and rare music, go to vinylrecords.ca.
All right, you're listening to The Copyright Experiment on CITR 101.9 FM. Earlier, we just heard a few interviews with people at the Gift2 art exhibit and concert that happened at Redgate Art Society last Friday. And I kind of enjoyed the show because it was really kind of just embrace and like exploration of alternative views on intellectual property and ideas of authorship and stuff like that. And it was kind of just a way to really put that out there and actually experience it and do it rather than just talking about it, which we usually just do here. So anyway, we're going to play some free music for you to the rest of the show, as always. If you like any of the songs you hear, you can download any of them for free at copyrightexperiment.tumblr.com. I've got download links to all the tracks because they are free and we want to share it with you. So first track we're going to play is by the Celestics, which are, they just dropped a whole free album. The Celestics are a duo from Montreal. It's Kitranada, who we're big fan of here at the show on the beats, making the instrumentals for his brother who raps on the mic. So enjoy the Celestics and more on the Copyright Experiment.
He didn't give a shit about people. He didn't give a shit till he blew. Became a star, no, he broke. I'll redefine concentration camps, go get a stamp. Not try to be lamping. Have this motherfucker straight ramping. Cause this rapper's holocaust. None that gives love, but I got my nine. Flown out from Germany, thought murder. He pay homage to the future ruler of this rap shit. Almost everything I drop's a classic. Yo, shit gon' stay plastic, so drastic. Me, gold platinum, shining bright like a diamond. I'm about to blow. Listen to the clock, ticking and talking. How many bars is this? 13 and it's Friday. Ask your real lyricist to come my way. It's Bloody Friday, you the fine bitch. I'm Jason. Ribbing you while you're on vacation. Lyrically flowing these verses just like a normal person. Not supernatural, nigga. I'm just better than you. Better than who? Everybody that I'm cooking in the soup. Ah! Yo, fucking arch enemy. I've been trying to blow up with the world against me. It's crazy how I ain't the nigga that you thought I'd be. Propaganda. Lazy supremacy. Lazy supremacy. Lazy supremacy. Lazy supremacy. As I slice through Joey Bassett, he's to bless it, throw shots. But I'm a devilish assassin, I'm Merkin Bumbleclad. Wearing nothing but camo just so I could camouflage. Surprise kill all y'all niggas, call it a sabotage. You struggle, your style can't even come close to ours. We get our shit exclusive, you gotta wait for hours. Sickest in the game, fall back away from me. Spread the sickness in my crew and right next is the industry. Which kind of explains why I got all of this energy. And I could give two fucks if you ain't really feeling me. The realness is, you ain't gotta tell me I know I'm fake. I ain't kill nobody, nigga, I'm already getting cake. No rap money, niggas is funny, my niggas trying to eat. Who gon' put food in my mouth when I'm 30, homie, these streets are deep. Battlefield to get to the top, gotta put niggas to sleep. Ain't talking bootleg when I say niggas is about to leak. Yo, fucking arch enemy. I've been trying to blow up with the world against me. It's crazy how I ain't the nigga that you thought I'd be. Propaganda, lazy supremacy. Lazy supremacy. Lazy supremacy. Lazy supremacy. Yo, fucking arch enemy. Trying to blow up with the world against me. I ain't the nigga that you thought I'd be. Propaganda.
Mama, I'm a millionaire, but I feel like a bum. Mama, I'm a millionaire, but I feel like the only one.
I could probably sing this, but I will just say summertime. It's summertime and the living is easy.
So here we are, finally in the first weekend of summer. And what better time to enjoy some
exclusive.
Days like this, I'll just chill out. Release tension and strain, let me think about it.
All I want is bitches, big booty bitches.
Especially on days like these.
You know how it is once the weather get hot. Got them things on your mind, and nigga, why not? The mommies got sweets like a candy shop. They be young and they pretty with them candy tops. They be young and they pretty and they can't be stopped. Shit, I'm young and I'm pretty, baby, can't we rock? Of course. You make me go hard, you're so soft. Your Louis clutch and your lip gloss. Your shoes and top is so balls. You're so flawless, so of course. I know you wanna rock with me. The black D-A-N-T-E, the Mr. Most Definitely. Ooh wee, so feel free to get close, ma, know me better. I like how I feel when our hips roll together.
Take me, take me to
hold on, look, yeah, you know.
Free joint from Self-Evident. Little instrumental rhythm. Up next, we got a Lana Del Rey remix. Stay tuned.
How much do you know about bikes? Everything? Perfect. Nothing at all? Even better. At the UBC Bike Kitchen, you can use our space and tools to do your own bike maintenance, get one-on-one instruction on how to fix your bike yourself, or drop your bike off for us to repair. You can also buy a fully refurbished, guaranteed used bicycle, or a variety of new and used parts and accessories. The Bike Kitchen is UBC's nonprofit, student-owned, full-service bike shop. We're located in the basement of the Student Union Building. Just look for the stairwell on the north side of the sub across from Gage Towers, or search for the UBC Bike Kitchen on Facebook. Stop by the Bike Kitchen and then get riding.
Are You Aware Radio, alternate Thursday 6 to 7 p.m. at CITR 101.9 FM. Profiling music and musicians take the route of positive action over apathy.
All right, let's get back into this mix. We got a remix by Dehousie of Lana Del Rey's Ultraviolence.
Thank you.
Close off with the cut off the Bass Coast Remix Contest. This one's by Ryan Wells. Get all our tracks for free on copyrightexperiment.tumblr.com. Listen to past shows. We're gonna wrap it off here with the show. Coming up next is Pierre with Oral Tentacles. Stay tuned. Take it through the rest of the night.